Good morning, church. Welcome to online worship. Before we start today, I would just like to remind you that we'll be having communion this morning. So get your bread, your grape juice, or the wine ready so that when it gets to that sermon, you don't have to rush. There's no last minute scramble to get all the different elements and we could all worship together and be in that experience together. And we could just reflect upon the enormity of how God sacrificed himself on the cross for us. I just want to give thanks that for the longest time, for the last year, we have been worshiping online, and it's such a blessing that we have such a strong team to be able to produce the video every single week, to lead worship every single week. And this is just something that we are so thankful for, and it's just such a blessing that we can continue to worship together online through this platform. And if this is your first time here, I just want to welcome you, and I will encourage you, sign on and register and fill out the Connect card. And allow us to reach out to you and connect with you such that you can find out more about who we are, what we do, what are some of the classes that we have. For example, the Kapos Online or the Youth Online. And speaking of which, Kapos Online and Youth Online, it happens every single Sunday morning. For Kapos Online, the grade 1 to 5, they would gather together every single Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. And they would come together, they would worship, they would sing praise, they would listen to message, have discussion time, small group time. And every single week, we have a group of leaders who are there faithfully just to share with them and just to be with them and connect with them. Not just the children, but the youth as well, from grade 6 to grade 9. Every week, we have a group of servants, a group of leaders there to share with them, to guide them, to lead, just to get to know them a little bit more and be examples to them. We have been doing series after series since last September, and right now, we are in the middle of a new series. We are going to start something new this week, and it's just such a blessing that we can continue to worship together with them. And I encourage you, if you have children from grade 1 to 5, register them for Kapos Online. Or if you have a youth from grade 6 to 9, sign them up for Youth Online. And we will see them there every single Sunday. And today, I just would like to share with you that we're starting a new series. It's called God is Blank. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to find out a little bit more what that blank means. What can we fill into that blank? And we're going to learn more about who God is, who God shows himself to be, his characteristics. All the different things about God is just so interesting, and I'm excited to start this series with you guys. And let us find out more today. And as we think about that, let us not forget that today it is Resurrection Sunday. It's the day that we celebrate and we remember that Jesus overcame death. He was the reason that we are redeemed, and we are the reason that he went on the cross on Friday to die for us, to shed his blood for us. And today, his resurrection shows that he has overcome sin. The power of sin no longer shackles us and holds us. And as we sing the songs today, I encourage you to reflect upon this idea and this thought that Jesus died for us and that he is alive. So let us rise and let us pray and prepare our hearts for worship this morning. Lord, we just want to give thanks that you sent Jesus down on Good Friday. He died on the cross. He shed his blood for us. And on the third day, he came back to life. He resurrected to show us that the power of sin, the power of death no longer holds us, and we are free and we are redeemed. And through him, we have access to you. So Lord, I pray that this morning, as we listen to who you are, give us peace in our hearts, open our ears, and let us receive, and let us be connected to you. I pray that this morning you be with us in worship and be with us over this whole week and allow us to listen to your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us worship together.
Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on our Savior, see the image of love, sing his praises forever. Oh, we look to the sun. Oh, we look to the sun.
Salvation tarries through the death of night. See the kingdom burst into color at the speed of light. Freedom shaking up the atmosphere. shadows fade into nothing as today appears. Beyond the skies above, love reaching out for us. The everlasting one, Jesus our guide.
Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on our Savior. See the image of love, sing His praises forever. Skies above, love reaching out for us, the everlasting one, Jesus our God. Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on our Savior, see the image of love, sing His praises forever.
His blood pour out for us. the weight of every curse upon him. One final birth he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness, a battle in the grave. The war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever He is glorified, forever He is lifted high, forever He is risen, He is alive.
Of defeat, the resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me.
Is the message and the hope that we have in the death and resurrection of Christ. Maybe in the past year, the word life and living is not something that you heard a lot. And in contrast, the word death is something you heard a lot of. The number count of deaths is in the millions and millions and thousands and thousands. And so you just keep hearing death and death and death and death. And maybe for some of you, unfortunately, you have gone through some of those in the past year. And so when we come to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I think this packs an extra significance, especially during this time, won't you say so? The Apostle Paul, when he was comforting the church, this church had gone through losing a few people, losing a few brothers and sisters, and they're grieving. And this is what Apostle Paul says. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep." They are only asleep. "That you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always, always be with the Lord." And church, I bless you that in this season, in this year, that you don't have fear of death, but you have joy in the life of Christ. You don't have fear of death, but you have hope in the life you have in Jesus Christ. And may this hope and this joy will bring you in your everyday life, carry you on every single day. And Jesus, we thank you for what you have done, how powerful you are, and how amazing you are. Church, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you for all that you have done. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, you may be seated.
The time was December 1990. It was a time that I finished my first term in the theology class in the seminary, and the first midterm came. I still remember that morning when we stepped into the class, we are all eager for our first midterm. At the beginning of the exam, after the seminary professor distributed all the papers, we were all ready to start writing. But to our surprise, just one thing happened. The professor tells us, "Let's put down our paper and have a word of prayer before the exam." To our surprise, that was a real surprise. Even though I was already a seminary student, I would never expect we need to pray before our exam. Yes, theology is so different. And in this month, the month of April, we'll take you to a class of theology in this next 4 weeks. Perhaps your reaction would be, "What? Theology?" I know, yeah, for most people, theology sounds foreign to you, right? It seems to be something you would never touch that, compared to economics, psychology, or engineering. Those are more real courses that you might take in university. But theology seems like it's not for everyone. And for most people, they would think that theology has nothing to do with myself. So why are we talking theology on Sunday? Let me give you an example. For any new immigrant who is planning to come to Vancouver, I'm sure they would want to know more and more information about our city. They would like to know about our weather, whether it rains or it shines in the summer or in the fall. They would like to know the real estate market, what's the recent trend. And for parents, I'm sure they would want to research a lot about education system, from preschool to kindergarten to elementary school, all the way to grade 12, college and university. They want to know everything about our education system, right? And besides that, people want to come to Vancouver. They also might want to know, where can I find the best Hong Kong milk tea at Richmond? Or where can I find the best pineapple bun in those Chinese bakery? Do you agree? Everyone coming to Vancouver would like to know as much information about our city. So theology is like a bridge for us to get to know more and more and deeper about the God we follow. Or let me take you to another example. If you are parents of a teenage girl, your daughter, if you heard that she has a boyfriend, what would your reaction be? I'm sure you'll be curious with all the details about that guy, right? What's his name? How tall he is? Which school does he attend? And does he eat Chinese food or not? I'm sure you would like to know all the big and small detail about that person who is supposed to be the boyfriend of your girl. In a similar way, when we talk about theology, we are actually talking about the way we know God. Based on God's revelation, we seek to know God more accurately through rational thinking. Based on God's revelation, we seek to know God in a more accurate way through rational thinking. When we talk about knowing God, however, for some reason, it seems like we thought that we know God enough or too well. Yes, we all know God is love. Based on John 3:16, we all know that for God so loved the world. But actually, besides God being love, the Bible mentions a lot more other characters about who God is. For example, God is holy. God is righteous. He is eternal. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful, etc., etc. And perhaps you have been a Christian for 10 or even 20 years. If you ask yourself, how has my knowledge of God, is it growing compared to when I was still in high school or college? Has my knowledge of God being deepened? And besides, talking about loving God, besides connecting with God in our emotion and our feelings, have you ever wondered, how can we also love God with our thinking? In the Bible, actually, we are called to love God in different dimensions, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and also with all our mind. Loving God with all our mind actually means loving God is not just an emotional action. It's not just about feelings or emotions. Loving God also involves your left brain, your right brain, and also your critical thinking. After hearing that, perhaps you would think, hey, I didn't expect knowing God is so complicated. But thankfully, unlike other religion, the God in the Bible is not just some mysterious forces we need to guess and know about. The Christian God is a God of revelation. The Christian God is one who wants to communicate with his people. The Christian God is one who really wants his people to know and understand about him. And as we read the Bible, from the beginning to the end, when we talk about knowing God, we are thankful that God did not just want us to play some guessing game about knowing him. Through the prophets that God raised in the Old Testament, through the apostle in the early church that God chose in the New Testament, God used many, many creative ways to reveal himself to his people. And as human, our responsibility is not just to guess about God. Our responsibility is to know him through his word, which is from the Bible. So in the coming 4 weeks, we'll be exploring together the different attributes or characters of God. And we would also like to take a deeper look at the significance of all these characters. What does all these characters about God to do with me? And in this morning, we'll first take you to two main characters about God. About God is all-powerful, and also God is all-good. God is a great God. God is a good God, and we will take you from great to good. First, let's tackle God is great. God is an all-powerful God. If you got baptized in Koinonia, I'm sure you still remember all the details about your baptism, right? Remember, before you get baptized with water, the pastor will ask you to come on the stage, and then there will be a time of faith confession. And you still remember what's the question we're asking you? We're asking you to declare your faith through reciting the Apostle Creed. And what's at the beginning of the Apostle Creed? Let me remind you. It talks about, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. The Almighty God. The God whom we believe is God Almighty. He is all-powerful. And in the Latin language, let me teach you one word this morning in Latin. All-powerful means omnipotent. Omni means all. And potent means power. So when they join together, omnipotent means all-powerful. That's it. No more Latin, okay? And throughout the whole Bible, God has revealed that He is actually a powerful God. In Genesis, when the earth was still without form and only darkness, through His Word, God turned chaos into order. And through His Word, the heaven and earth was created. In the story of Noah's Ark, I'm sure we all know the story. Because of man's sin, the whole earth was destroyed by the flood. But by His saving power, this powerful God save Noah and the family together. And let's move on to the story of Abraham. You still remember Abraham and his wife. They were already in their 90s, but they have no kids. Through His power, God was able to give them a son. And through this single son, Abraham became the father of all nations. It's almost impossible. It's a dream to Abraham. And in the story of Exodus, I'm sure we also are very familiar. God used His power to divide this Red Sea. And also, He helped His people to walk through the desert. Not just in 40 days, not just in 40 weeks, but 40 years. God is able to do all His holy will. God is able to do all His holy will. In the Old Testament, we see that God is a great and powerful God. And how about in the New Testament? The angel Gabriel was sent to announce a good news to Mary. Mary was totally shocked, as we remember the Christmas story, right? In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "The angel answered Mary, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God, for nothing will be impossible with God.'" Yes, nothing is impossible with God. God is able to do all His holy will. And throughout His 3 years of ministry, we see that Jesus also demonstrated about the power of God. In the wedding celebration at Cana, Jesus turned water into wine. On the hillside of Galilee, He fed 5,000 people with just a small lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And in big and small town, Jesus met people with disease and sickness, and He healed them one after another. As we celebrate Easter this morning, let's not forget the climax of God's power. It was demonstrated when Jesus was raised on the third day from the dead. In God's power, even death, that is the most ultimate enemy of human being, was conquered and defeated. Yes, God is all-powerful. And even Jesus declared that in Matthew chapter 19, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Yes, God is a powerful God. And I'm sure most people would have no problem with that. But when we talk about figures of power and authority, most people might not have much positive experience. According to our experience, whether in politics or in religions or even in families, what we have seen a countless example about power being abused. So we have learned that we don't want to put too much trust on any power of authority figures. We have seen too many examples of power being abused. Remember back in January, while the government tells us not to do any non-essential travel, a bunch of politicians were discovered to have been traveling to California, to Mexico, or even to Europe. While we expect a higher moral standard among the clergy and minister, we have heard scandal among them, one after another. While we expect the family, which is a place where children are protected, we have heard too many cases that children are being abused by those they trust. Behind all these scandals and tragedies, we find people of authorities who did not manage their power and authority correctly. So eventually, power was being abused, and we have lost confidence on the authority figures. And instead of trust, we became suspicious about those people. As we are growing up in this culture, when we heard about God is an all-powerful God, for some of us, it does not bring us any sense of security. And instead, we only see God as a judge. Our first reaction is to keep a distance from Him so that we won't get caught or being punished by this God. God is powerful. Okay, I know, but no thanks. Is this how God is being perceived in your mind? But today, let's go one step further, from great to good. God is not just a great God. God is not just a powerful God. The God in the Bible is also all-loving and all-good. Even though God is full of power, even though God is an all-powerful God, He is definitely not someone who is abusing His power. He is a God of 100% goodness. His goodness implies that there is no evil in God. In the Old Testament, at the beginning of the story, we know that God is good. And especially in the book of Psalms, the psalmist would praise the goodness of God. For example, in Psalms 106, it says, "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." And then in the beginning of Psalm 107, 118, or 136, we see an identical line at the beginning. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." So time and again, the author of all the Psalms is praising God for His goodness. And let's go back to this Psalm 107. It's a psalm about talking about the complete goodness of God. In this psalm, the psalmist mentioned time and again a lot of different challenging situations that were experienced by the Israelites. For example, in chapter 107 of the psalm, verse 6 to 7, "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. God led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in." Verse 13, "Then they cried to the Lord again in the trouble, and He delivered them from the distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart." Verse 19, "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He sent out His word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction." One more, verse 28. "Then they cried to the Lord in the trouble." You can see the pattern, right? "And He delivered them from their distress. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and He brought them to their desired haven." the goodness of God is not just an abstract concept. For the Israelite, when God's people cry out to Him in distress, in different kind of difficult situation, God did not just sit back and watch over His people. He delivered. He healed them. He gave them freedom. He also led them out of darkness. From Old Testament to New Testament, God's goodness was never diminished. In Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus was teaching about praying to God, He said, verse 9 of Matthew chapter 7, "Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask Him?" Yes, for earthly fathers, even though they are not perfect, they would still give good things to their kids. In the eyes of Jesus, the Heavenly Father that He is trusting, the good Father, His goodness does not just stop at giving good things. Actually, the nature of God is good. God did not just give you good things. By nature, God is good. And in Him, there's no evil. God is not just a God who is like a Santa Claus, who will give you good stuff only. By nature, God is good. And in Him, there is no evil. So all this scripture have shown us one thing. Although God is all-powerful, He's not a cruel or oppressive ruler. He's not a tyrant who is hurting His people. He is an all-powerful King with 100% goodness. In Him, there is no evil. Perhaps you may ask, "Okay, thanks for telling me that God is great. Thank you for telling me that God is good. But so what? What does this have to do with me, a human? How would this God, who is all-powerful and all-good, connect with me?" Let me tell you one more thing. If God is all-powerful and all-good, instead of ignoring Him, instead of keeping a distance from Him, actually, there is another way of relating to God. To put your total trust and allegiance to Him. Just like how Jesus, being submitted to God the Father, the good, good Father. Yes, I know. As we have mentioned, this is a generation who is disappointed about any kind of figures of authority. Nobody likes to be submissive to anyone else. We want to be our own master. No one would be too eager to submit to God. Is that right? But let's imagine this together. If you are growing up from a family which is full of violence, deep down in your heart, you don't want to stay in this family anymore. Rather than suffering from all the abusive situation, you would rather become homeless, could be. But one day, a new family moved into your neighborhood, living just right next to you. This is a family full of love and care, and the kids are really being taken care by the parents. When you saw what is happening in this picture, what would you have in mind? Rather than leaving your own home and choose to be homeless, would you rather be a member of this new family? Would you be thinking, "Wow, how I wish I'm part of this family"? In the same way, God is the one who is full of power and love and goodness. Rather than keeping a distance away from Him, on this Easter morning 2021, let me invite you to consider, to to put your total trust in this God who is all-powerful and all-good. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path." God is all-powerful and all-good. Let's put our total trust in Him. God is all-powerful and all-good. Let's put our total trust in Him. As we begin this series on who God is this morning, in front of us is not a God who is just a Mr. Nice Guy who is not able to help you at all. He's not a tyrant who is full of power but doesn't care about you. In front of us is a God who is all-powerful, all-good. There's no evil in Him. And for such a God, His invitation for you this morning is to become His people, submitting to His sovereign power, under His protective power, you will be secure. In Him, there is no evil. In Him, there is 100% goodness. And facing such an all-powerful and all-loving God, what would your response be? God is all-powerful and all-good. Let's put our total trust in Him. Although in this world, whether in politics or in religions or even in families, many people with authority does not deserve our trust. But the Bible tells us one thing. God never abuses His power. Even though He is 100% all-powerful, He's not a tyrant. He is the one who is 100% good. He's the one you can total submit to Him. What would be your response this morning? Facing all the tragedies in life, today's message tells us one thing. There is another possibility in life. God is all-powerful. God is all-good. Let us put our total trust in Him. Let us have a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank You for Your goodness. Dear God, we thank You for Your greatness. Especially in this Easter morning, Lord, we declare that You are good. You are great. And in this morning, help us. Help us to see deeper. You are not just a Mr. Nice Guy. You are not a tyrant, but You are a truly good and powerful God. And Lord, help us. Help us to put our total trust in You. Especially I want to pray for all those gathered. They might not be a follower or Christian yet. I pray that You also enable us to put our total trust in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother and sister, today is a special and unique Sunday. On one hand, we are celebrating Easter, and we are acknowledging that Jesus has conquered death already. On the other hand, we are celebrating communion, which is a proclamation of the death of Jesus. There's a saying that we can't celebrate Easter without Good Friday. And we can't celebrate resurrection without the cross. According to the practice at Koinonia, this communion is open to all who have declared Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, at the night when He was betrayed, He took the bread, He gave thanks, and broke it. He said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And today, as we celebrate this communion, let us remember, without Good Friday, there is no Easter. And without the cross, we can't celebrate resurrection this morning. Let us together partake the body and blood of Jesus. As we conclude today's service, let me remind you about offering. You can support the ministry of Koinonia through online offering. Please go to our church website, mykc.ca, to complete the online offering. Now, let us stand for the benediction. May the God of peace, who raised from the dead our Lord Jesus, provide us with every good thing we need in order to do His will. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen. So go in peace and be witness of the risen Lord. We'll see you next week.